So think about all the times that you get a printed receipt when you go to a fast food restaurant. Mm. A lot of times they have like a barcode on them, or there has like points and how to claim your points. And you don't do that kind of stuff. So you just throw it in the garbage. Well, on TikTok, it's been trending that a lot of fast food service workers go collect those receipts. They claim the points for you and then have been turning it into cash and gift cards.
Oh, I mean, that's kind of brilliant, right? I don't really have a problem with that. You know what it is that I sign up for all the rewards things when they're like, you get 25% off today, right? Or 20% off today, your first order, or 30% off your first order. And they're great. But then you don't really keep up with them. Maybe you use it twice that first week. Maybe they've gotten savvy and they send you the thing and they're like, okay, you'll get your code in the next 3 hours. Meanwhile, you're waiting in the drive-through line or you're standing at the register of this store. So I don't normally keep up with them. So a lot of people don't even take their receipts, no matter what kind of shopping they're doing now, right? So if somebody wants to pick that up, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, I'm looking at all these TikToks. There's, I guess, a website or an app called Fetch. So Fetch, you can upload these receipts and they get points and then you get gift cards. And it's basically just like a reward system. And they're making so much money. Like when somebody says, like when a retail worker says to you, would you like your receipt? And you say no. They're just taking pictures of your receipt later on, putting in the codes, uploading this and collecting your money. Now, I'm with you, Raven. I don't care if I'm not going to get it and I'm not going to go jump through the hoops to get that quarter or that dollar or whatever. Then sure, somebody should be reaping the rewards. And if it's the retail worker that has the know-how, the time to do it, then absolutely. But what this does is make me mad at myself. The one thing that I'm really not good at is using these programs to my advantage.
Right.
Like, I know that you always get to redeem credit card rewards to buy first class and do things like that. I have nothing on any of my cards for that. Like, I don't even use credit cards. I just use my debit card for everything. I don't know why I don't take advantage of all these things. I always think everything is a scam, and that's not true.
Yeah, I use the airline mileage on my credit cards, and I had a Red Sox card for a while. Like, I used to use that for tickets or access to things. You know, a lot of times they change the rules, right? So you have to stay on top of it. But I pay my bills with my credit card.
Yeah.
And then I just pay my credit card, obviously, out of my account. So I'm getting all those reward points.
So many people take advantage of all these programs. And we've had so many experts come on the show that says, find a credit card that gives you the most cash back, that gives you the most bonus points that you can use towards things you like, and utilize them. But I don't do it. And it's the same thing what these retail workers are doing right now with this website Fetch that you just, I don't know, it's just like they have 500 retailers that they work with. Mm. I'm looking over this list of retailers. I shop at like 90% of them. If I just had the time to save those receipts, go to the app, upload it, you know what? Let them earn it. If I can't figure out how to do that, somebody should be reaping the rewards, and it should be them.
The next time you pull in a Chick-fil-A and you see a Ferrari, you'll know it doesn't actually belong to somebody there for a sandwich.
Right.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories, but you only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. You ready?
Lay it on me.
Number one, fierce bunny removed from neighborhood after lunging at residents.
You know, sometimes those bunnies, man, they get out of control. This is why I have to relocate them myself from time to time.
You just pack them up in your car, drive them 5 miles to your away from your house and
That's
just
right.
let them go in the woods.
That's right.
Number two, prisoner tunnels through wall to attack a man in neighboring cell.
You can't keep me from you.
Number three, neighborhood in Vegas naming its streets after Pokemon characters.
I mean, it took this long. What's the what's the sense of that, right? Let's go with the jailbreak. How about that?
Okay. A Georgia inmate tunneled through a wall in an attempt to harm a man in a neighboring cell.
Wow.
Okay, so his name is Kavion Thomas, and allegedly what he did is he dug a hole through a wall in a shower stall, and he attacked this guy that he's got beef with.
Okay.
I don't know what the problem was. I didn't ask.
I mean, right.
Yeah. The funny part, though, is that the real issue here is the conditions of the jail. It's the Fulton County Jail. Here's the commander. This is what he calls the jail.
It's the devil's workshop.
The devil's workshop.
Yeah.
That's where it is, you know.
Okay. Well, it's not a nice place. No. Typically, a jail is not meant to be a nice place.
It's the devil's workshop.
Mm-hmm. But the building is such a disarray that this is how they managed to create all the tools to try to escape and the weapon.
Shanks were made from parts of the building.
Literally just ripped off sides of the building to be able to make the the weapon and the digging things.
I mean, over time, yeah, concrete, things like that, they break down, right? So, you know, there's going to be things that you get access to. And people are very, very resourceful. When you're locked in a room, you know, 24 hours a day, that's what happens. You look around and then, figure out what you can work with.
Well, here, you know, I got a lot of thoughts on this. But first, okay. Here's what he says about the jail.
This jail has clearly outlived its useful life, and our daily job is to make it as safe as we possibly can, not only for staff, but for the inmates as well. I have lost so much sleep since being assigned to run this location or this facility. It's difficult to talk about.
All right. One, this guy needs a vacation and a raise.
I mean,
I can't.
Let's worry about this guy's where he's getting sleep.
They're like, wait a minute, you're going to put a microphone and a camera in front of me? I got to tell you some stuff, you know? So somebody needs to take care of this guy, check on him.
Oh, man.
Two, if you're the inmate and you're going to put that much time and effort to escape your cell,
yeah,
it's going to be to attack the guy next to you. It's not going to be to escape.
Well, I'm guessing this guy is in for life, right? And the thing is once you escape, they're going to find you anyways.
They
hardly ever get away. All right. Those are, you know, I mean, you get out and you run it for a while and, you know, you're coming back to the jail. Yeah, frankly, either in handcuffs or in a bag, frankly, usually, you know, so just, I mean, at some points you're just better off waiting it out.
Wait, what's the movie where he gets away? It's your favorite movie of all time.
Shawshank Redemption. Yeah.
Doesn't he get away?
Yes, he does get away, but it takes over 20 years. On top of it, he takes down the people that are in charge of the jail because he was actually wrongly convicted.
All right, whatever. Anyway.
Right. Details.
Details. If you were going to escape a jail.
Yeah.
How would you do it? Tell me in 10 seconds.
Well, I mean, you can't tunnel. That's just going to take forever. Of course, they're going to find the evidence of you leaving at that point anyway. So the easiest way is to get somebody to open the door for you. So a disguise, or you hide inside something that comes in and out of the jail every single day.
What are you going to disguise yourself as?
I don't know. A guard, usually. Just get yourself a uniform or whatever. It's amazing the amount of people that don't look at each other when they're at work every day because they're just in their own mode. You heard that guy. You think that supervisor is going to look you in the face before he walks out, that you walk out the door? He hates his life.
It's the devil's workshop.
Yeah. he needs to get out of there, too. So he's just like, yep, buzzes the door, and you're on your way.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What is driving you crazy right now? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
James, that's all I need to know about you.
If you refuse to expand your musical horizons, that's all I need to know about you. Seriously, if you think the only great music is what you hear on the radio, that is all I need to know.
James, I don't mean to be that mean, but I can't stand when people say this. I don't understand. Like, if that's what I want to listen to and that's what makes me happy, why are all of a sudden you the music god that has to be like, but you don't listen to this band? They've got 3 songs that came out 12 years ago and they're the best band in America.
Yeah, listen to that indie record. That's way cooler than mine.
All I'm saying is there's other music. You know, you can listen to your pop stuff and then your old stuff. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Expand. Yeah.
There's this great local band.
My cousin, dude. It's going to be great.
Chelsea, that's all I need to know about you.
If you plan on streaking at your graduation, that's all I need to know about you.
Anybody still do that?
I think they do.
No.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Underneath their gown, they're not wearing anything?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I did that when I graduated.
Oh, my gosh.
But now you're using it as an all I need?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I didn't streak. I just didn't have anything under the gown. That was only for me and a few people to know.
I mean, I got to tell you, I'm not the one. I've never lacked for confidence. I've always felt good. I'll go after anything. I'm an extrovert for real. But there's no part of me that has ever wanted to streak. There's no part of me.
So many pieces just flapping. You don't want that.
It's just
terrible.
Yeah, that satin doesn't look good pressed against anything. Ugh. And it makes you sweat. I don't care. That fabric does not breathe.
Dylan, that's all I need to know about you.
If you hit somebody's car in a parking lot or on the street and drive away, that's all I need to know about you.
This is every one of the cars that I own at this point. Every one of the cars that I own. There's one on my car, my everyday driver. There's a scuff on my wife's car, everyday driver. There's one on the van and there's the one on my dad's truck. Like, it's not that I'm the best driver, but I'm a good parker. I am diligent in the parking lot. Everybody is hitting my car now.
So my husband says, too, you know what I think?
What's up?
think it's you guys.
What?
My husband says every time there's a scuff on the car, he's like, look what you did. I'm like, you've been driving that car for 3 days. No. Interesting. Interesting.
I mean, it could have been you also, at least on my everyday driver.
You know what happened yesterday?
What's up?
I was sitting in traffic and I was blasting Janet Jackson. I was in a Rhythm Nation mood. Very strange. Okay. Not a normal thing that happens in my life.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But I had it really loud because it was just in traffic and I was just jamming out. And all of a sudden I hear, I didn't know what happened. So I was like, wait, is that my car that just got hit? Throw the car in park and I get out in the traffic. And I look behind, and the two cars behind me, it was a young man that was driving the car behind me, and then a young female that was driving the car behind him. And he's throwing up his hands and yelling at her, and she's, like, being very defensive and apologizing. And I yell out, guys, did either of you hit me?
And all I care about is myself.
And the guy behind me goes, no, but you're good, right? I can drive now? And they looked at me and nobody said anything. And I just got in the car and drove away.
You were like, best of luck.
Yeah, but by like drove away, I mean, I inched up 4 more feet because we were still in traffic. It was the strangest thing. Memorial Day weekend, you know what that means? Traffic, a lot of money on gas. But how much money are you actually going to spend? Patrick Dahan from Gas Buddy. You can follow them online at gasbuddy.com or download the app to help you figure out where to get the best prices on gas. Patrick, what is going to be happening this weekend?
Well, we're seeing gas prices that may end up just ahead of the holiday as oil prices have gone up. But the big news is that over the 4-day driving weekend, Americans collectively are going to be spending $1.6 billion less on gasoline than we did a year ago. That's about $400 million every day. So gas prices starting the summer off far lower than last year, about $1.08 per gallon lower on average compared to a year ago.
Patrick, wow.
When we hear that it's going to cost so much less, is there an actual percentage of people that are going up in driving, or is it about the same numbers, or is it less even?
Well, according to our survey this year, about 64% of Americans said they're planning to take at least one road trip this summer. That is up from 58% last year. It's not a big jump, even with gas prices that are far lower. I think there's certainly a subset of Americans that are a little bit anxious about the state of the U.S. economy. So while gas prices are far lower, we're not seeing a lot more people say, hey, I'm going to hit the road this summer. And again, I think that's all due to the fact that, you know, inflation has been rampant. Borrowing costs are up. Americans are feeling a little bit less optimistic about the economy.
That's sad. That's just a sad, sad thing.
I think that's what he said.
Right.
He paraphrased it.
Yeah.
Right. Patrick, I think that probably some of this stuff can be attributed to the fact that people are more comfortable traveling outside of the country too, right? There might be some less road trips, but there's probably doing some more air travel, that type of thing this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of Americans did hit the road last year, even with high gas prices. And now the ability to get outside of the country, now that flight prices are a little bit less ridiculous than they were last year, there's a little bit more capacity as well. And that's giving Americans opportunity to head outside of the U.S. borders. So I think we're starting to see that a little bit. Is that while there are more people planning to hit the road, there's more people planning to jump on a plane as well and travel outside the U.S.
So I know you don't have a crystal ball. It'd be all cool if you did, but what do you think is going to happen to gas prices over the course of the next 6 months or so?
Well, you know, over the course of the summer, we're probably going to stay in pretty familiar territory compared to where we are today. The national average at about $3.52 a gallon will probably stay between a range of maybe $3.35 to as high as $3.75. But we could go beyond that $3.75 if we start to see some unexpected refinery outages, or if there's a major hurricane, or if there's a sudden jolt in improvement to the U.S. economy that could push more Americans to hit the road and could push prices up. But I don't think we're going to get to that $4 a gallon mark unless we see one of those caveats I mentioned with prices that, again, are pretty familiar to where they are today. Now, some states will see relief. Arizona prices have hit, well, they were close to $5 a gallon. They're starting to see prices go down. But some of the areas that have seen sub-$3 prices may drift a little bit higher. And some of that could happen here as the price of oil has gone up recently, on the hopes that there will be an agreement on raising the debt ceiling.
All right. If you want to find the cheapest gas prices near you, you can go to gasbuddy.com, download the app, and start saving money while you're traveling this summer. Thank you so much, Patrick. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Manipulation is a weird word when you think of it, because it's kind of like a negative feeling when you say I'm going to manipulate somebody. But sometimes you have to manipulate your kids. It's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you can use all your powers for good or evil, right? So the action is not really indicative of what the result will be.
Raven, producer John, here's the thing is that I can't take credit for this. You know, I'd love to. I did not make up this game. Mm. But it is the one game that my toddler, well, she's not a toddler, she's four. My four-year-old falls for all the time, and I hope she never grows out of it. It's the who can be the quietest the longest game.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
The quiet game.
The quiet game. It is golden. And, like, my 14-year-old, she used to fall for it when she was young, and now she's 100% in on the game because she also wants Dakota to stop talking and yelling and screaming.
Do you offer any sort of reward? Is there a payoff or anything like that? It's just to say that you're the best. You beat your sister?
Oh, it's usually, she has a fierce competition spirit against her 14-year-old sister.
Sure.
It's 4 and 14. You would think that that big age gap would get rid of the sibling rivalry.
No.
Not in Dakota's eyes. She's constantly in competition with her big sister. So anytime that Dakota is unruly and she's screaming and she won't stop, and which is a lot, if you know my kid, then Hayden will be like, I know, Mommy, we should play that game you love. And I'm like, the quiet game? I don't know, but Dakota doesn't do good at the quiet game. And that's all I got to say. And then I'll be, who can be the quietest the longest? And that girl can shut her mouth for an extended period of time, and it is joyful silence.
Wow. So what is an extended period of time? Like, what's your record on the quiet game?
7 minutes.
It's not bad. That's impressive.
It's not bad.
When you need silence, 7 minutes is,
that's amazing.
That's like taking a nap while you're driving.
You can load a dishwasher. You can you can clean like a counter. There's things that can happen in 7 minutes.
Phone conversation.
Right.
Yeah, you can get things done.
I don't like to call it manipulation games, but that's exactly what we're going to call it.
I mean, that's kind of what I do with James when I want him to get ready. You know what I mean? Like what I'll do is he will sit there and he will not put on the socks and he will not let me put on his shoes and his pants and his all of that stuff. So what I do is I start getting myself ready and I make myself look like a complete idiot. I try to put on my pants like through my head and I'm like, buddy, it's this way, right? And the arms go through the holes here and he just goes, dad, no, that's not. I show you. And then he starts to like do his stuff and put his stuff on.
That's
and I'm like, oh,
thing.
Is that pretty the way?
Smart.
I didn't know that's how we put on our shirts.
Right.
And oh, you're so smart, dude.
Can you imagine he goes to school and he tells all his friends, like, my dad's an idiot.
Yes.
My
dad, he can't dress himself.
He doesn't even know how to put on his pants.
Yeah.
He tries to put his pants on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I was younger, my father used to always tell me that we need to do a good job washing grandma's car. And so here's the thing is if you just hand a kid a bucket and some sort of a sponge, like I would work on washing that car for like 2 hours. Like he could keep me busy the entire afternoon doing that. Which, by the way, all kids can't wash cars. I'm just going to say, you do a terrible job. Listen, if you're the kid that's like, I'm the best car washer, nope. Go back and analyze the job that you're doing right now.
I remember when my dad used to make us do that too. Who could wash his car the best?
Yeah.
He had this little
old... keep you out there for hours.
Oh, that's great.
Until he realized that we were using remember those big orange sponges? Do they still have those big orange sponges?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And we would pick up the gravel from the driveway and it would drop them on the floor. Then we put them in the soap and then we would start scratching the car and that was the end of washing daddy's car.
That's why it was always grandma's car and not my dad's car.
Right. Call it manipulation, call it creative parenting. What's that game that you play with your kid to get them to do what you want? Like when my four-year-old gets out of hand and gets too loud, you know what we play? The quiet game.
Mm.
And she is very competitive with her sister. And it has lasted like 7 minutes sometimes. I get total silence, which is a huge win.
I mean, that's like serenity at that moment when you need it the most.
Absolutely. 1-800-330-9999. What's that creative parenting game you play? Christine?
So I had three children under the age of 7. And when we would travel extensively in the car with them, we would tell them that whatever music we were just couldn't listen to for a second longer for children's music, mm-hmm. we would tell that the singers had to go on a coffee break or a lunch break, and we would have like a half an hour of silence, which was fantastic.
Genius.
And then we'd
tell them because there's only so much of the Lori Berkner band I can take before I lose my mind.
Yes, it worked. They all took long coffee breaks and ate muffins. It was fantastic.
Do you remember when you were growing up and you heard a song on the radio, you thought the band was like in the studio playing that song? Was I the only one that believed that at the time?
Or under the hood?
I do remember those times.
Maren, you have a great manipulation game for your kids. Creative parenting.
So this is actually something that I used to do with my kindergarten students when we were on the bus home from a field trip. So there'd be 45 kindergartners on a bus, and we would play the sleeping game, which is try to convince your teachers that you're asleep, and the winner gets a special prize at the end.
Oh, convince.
There was never a winner because everyone fell asleep.
Yes, convince other people that you're asleep. If I stay stationary for a couple moments, close my eyes and make my breathing low, same thing. I will fall asleep.
Yep. Genius.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That one is really good.
I'm going to play that this weekend on a road trip.
Right. You're going to play it yourself.
Yeah. Good. Emily, what's your creative game?
Well, when I was about 9 years old, my brother was washing the dishes, and he was, like, pretending to have the greatest time. And I insisted that he let me wash the dishes. And to this day, I don't mind washing. I love washing dishes.
Right.
It's hysterical.
Because you thought your brother was having such a blast.
He made a hotel on me.
Camilla, what's a game that you made up for your kids?
I have the hardest time getting them wanting to get ready for bed. So what I've done is I've said, okay, who wants to set a world record? And then I time them. So I say, ready, set, go. And they all run, because they're all competitive. So they all run upstairs and like brush their teeth, wash their face, get their pajamas on and everything, and come back down. And I'm not counting, but inevitably I'll be like, you did it. You've got a minute and 30 seconds. You're a world record holder. And they love it. They love it. And it works. It's like, you think that they would forget about it. That like, they might figure out that I'm messing with them, but they don't. They just, every time they're so excited.
The who can do it fastest is good. That is golden.
In general, people are just highly competitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can try and fight all those inner urges, but, you know, you really are. So tapping into that seems like smarts.
My older daughter, Hayden, she's 14. My little one is 4, Dakota. And whenever Dakota's a wanderer, she spends her life trying to just escape us and, you know, instill fear and panic in all of us.
Mm.
And Hayden is such a good helper. And whenever we're like in a store or a grocery and like or a fair, wherever, and Dakota starts wandering away, she says, whoever touches mommy first wins. And it like the girl will like break her neck to beat her sister to touch me. And it's just enough for me to grab her wrist and be like, you stay next to mommy. It's a good one when you time them.
Oh, I know.
Or if you time them to do something, I do that same trick too. I start counting 1, 2, and then when they're out of earshot, I just stop.
Right.
Right. When they get
trail
back,
off.
Yeah, I'm like, 36 seconds. That was great. You just have to make sure when they come into eyesight, you start again. 24, 25. Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Tina Turner is trending. She died yesterday at her home in Switzerland after what her reps are calling a long illness. She was 83 years old. She sold 200 million albums, won 8 Grammys, and of course starred in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
It's got to be a little bit scary or crazy for me, man, because based on those legs, I thought she would have lived to be 250 years old. No question. My mother loved Tina Turner.
You
wanna loved her.
Want to jam out for the next 27 seconds?
Oh, please, let's do it.
Your jam.
Yes.
I've never seen you so excited.
I'm so glad you did a montage because mm-hmm. there's just so many.
Yeah.
I'm going to be reciting lines from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome to my friends back and forth all weekend long, I promise you.
But you know, you always figure she'd get out there and she could shake it. I mean, I remember when I was teaching Zumba, the Proud Mary routine was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And I remember watching her and the way she would move and the way she would dance. And I always wanted to dance like her. And you think performers like that must love that energy, right? Mm. Listen to this.
No one ever knew on stage how much I really was tired of singing and dancing. It's work. It's something when you do all of your life. Every night, that's all you do. Everyone is having a good time. You're up there working.
It's funny, right?
She's like,
it's
I just want to go to the party.
She's like, I'm tired.
I'd like to relax
once. Can I chill out for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really doing it when, you know, you were out there earning it at first, too, right? And her and Ike Turner, that whole thing is well documented, so.
Now, I thought that you know, she lived up until she passed away yesterday, she lived in Switzerland.
Yeah.
But I thought she lived there because she wanted to kind of be out of the public eye, and that's where her husband was. Mm. And that was the reason why she moved there. But here's an interview that she did with Larry King back in 1997, and I was like, oh.
I have left America because my success was in another country, and my boyfriend was in another country. And, yeah, Private Dancer was the beginning of my success in England. And basically, Europe has been very supportive of my music.
More than America?
Yes. Yes, hugely.
Hugely more? Yes. You're a major star here. You're a superstar in America.
Not as big as Madonna. I'm as big as Madonna in Europe. I'm as big as, in some places, the Rolling Stones.
In Europe?
In Europe.
Isn't that interesting?
She just loves it when people open that restaurant door.
Yeah.
Come on in, Tina. Relax. The spa's open, by the way. We're not going to require you to dance whatsoever.
Right, exactly.
She was fantastic, yep. though.
It physically makes me feel sick. I feel sick when I don't know why I do this to myself.
I honestly, if I was you, I would do your best to not think about it, because telling me about it, like I could understand. It's wow.
Long story short, here's what's going on. Taylor Swift MetLife Stadium kicks off tomorrow night, and this is the shows that I'm going to. And I'm very excited. My daughter, Hayden, is very excited. So me and we have a group of a small group of us that we've been taking our girls. They're all the same age and they've been best friends since birth. We've been taking them since they were 6 years old to the first concert they ever went to was 1989. Right.
I mean, listen, you don't have to qualify the fact or feel bad about the fact that you are making it happen, that you guys are taking your daughters to Taylor Swift. It's a big deal.
Reputation Tour. We were there 2018. The girls were a little older. Loverfest, which got canceled because of COVID. We had the best seats. We worked so hard. Me and one of the other moms are like those crazy people that know how to do Ticketmaster. And we bought the sweatshirts and we did the things where we had to keep watching the videos. We did all every hoop that Taylor Swift wanted us to jump through. We jumped through that hoop for our kids. Right.
Yeah.
And now here comes this tour and the girls are pumped out of their mind. So me and Michelle come up with a plan. It's one of the other moms. Here's what we do. We divide and conquer. We both go for the tickets. You can buy the max 6 tickets. Whoever gets the best seats, that's the show we go to. We sell the other tickets. Well, of course, you know how this story ends. It is complete chaos and people can't get tickets and Ticketmaster's going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But what we both do is secure tickets. I secure them for Saturday night. She secures them for Friday night. And the plan was we were going to sell one night, except we are in the last row. Both nights.
Right.
So now we're looking at these tickets, which cost $127 each. Pretty affordable by Taylor Swift standards for a ticket, because they're the worst seats in the house.
Yeah. Now counting the sweatshirts and the time spent and all that stuff. But yes, I mean, at face value.
So we go, you know what? Because this is the Christmas present to the girls. I say we take them both nights. We make it a big thing where the 6 of us, we're going both nights, and it'll be like a big Memorial Day weekend thing. That'll be their Christmas present. Everybody agrees. It's the greatest thing. I just went on StubHub. Okay. For our terrible seats, tomorrow night, $2,480 a ticket. Saturday night, $2,234 a ticket for our seats. They're the ones right next to us. We could sell the tickets for that much. Now, me, all the other moms, our husbands are saying to the girls, guys, new plan.
Right.
We're going to sell one night and we're going to be able to do something fun together. And we'll just go one night like normal people do.
I mean, $2,500, 6 of you guys. I mean, 6 tickets. That's nearly $18,000.
They won't do it. They are so excited with the bracelets and the chants and the outfits that they've been working on for 6 months. They will not do it.
I mean, it's a significant amount of money. I mean, just give you a little bit of food for thought here, right? You know, $18,000, basically, okay? You could rent a castle in Scotland for 36 days. I just looked it up. For all of you. And you can bring the pets and everything, too, if you want to. There's room for extras. It's a castle for over a month.
Uh-huh.
You could pay for a fifth of your ticket to go to space with Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos.
Good.
You could be gone.
Yes.
I mean, imagine it.
Yep.
Life-changing thing. 300 people on the planet have done it in all of time. Mm-hmm. Or 2 of you could get your pilot's license. Mm-hmm. And next time that Taylor Swift comes around on concert, you know, you could fly to go see her someplace.
Well, here's a good thing. We're so far back, we are basically in space. We're not even going to be able to see her. But don't worry, we'll be there both nights.
Have fun.
It's the end of the school year. Not only are teachers burnt out, the kids are burnt out too. So how are we going to get them to the finish line? We figured we would just ask them about what's going on. First question we asked, what's the worst part about school?
Math. Math and reading.
Why math?
Because it's hard.
What makes it hard?
I have no idea.
It is hard. Math
He's just
is
like,
hard.
If I could understand that, man, it wouldn't be so hard.
Right.
He kicks back on your question.
Yeah.
I love math. Math was just one of those subjects that was very easy to me. But I know that for some people, it's really, really difficult. That's how it is when somebody asks me to dissect a sentence.
Well, see, for me, I'd rather dissect the sentence. I don't want to touch math. I can't do it.
No.
What can schools teach that will get kids motivated?
Football. Because it help if they play, it'll help them learn skills. And if they don't, it'll teach them.
What?
He's like, everybody needs to know football.
Let's just play football, like, guys.
Just, you know, understand that.
The skills,
right?
You're going to learn so many things.
I can't talk to you if you don't understand football.
Right. Forget the bus. You don't want to take the bus anymore. How do you want to get to school?
In a really nice car. Like a Ferrari or like a nice Mustang or something like that.
Yeah, I'm into that. Imagine getting dropped off to school in your Ferrari. That's pretty sick, right?
That's when you get the flexibility to get in and out of it.
All right, worst part about school?
Writing. It's boring because you sit and you write about things that you just, like that you do. Why can't you just talk about it? This doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Why can't we just talk about it? Why we got to write it?
I'm going to come in and I'm going to do the show. All right. I'm not going to, you know, put this thing down in an email or whatever. I'm not typing.
All right. So what do you actually want to get taught in school?
It would be a break where you go on your computer and you play games that actually teach you about stuff. So it's fun. So you're learning, but it's still fun.
It's really just playing video games.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, and then somebody walks around and goes, try this next time if you get caught at this part of the game.
And you forget the bus. What's going to motivate you?
A quad. I like riding quads.
All right. You ever been on a quad before, Raven?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had motorcycles from the time I was like 8, dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's built for crashing, basically. Which is same thing with the body at that point.
Worst part about school?
So easy. Because you always have to sit down. You can't just... I just want to get up and have some fun.
You know, it is a long time for those kids to sit in place. You're asking a lot for them to
You know
that.
What? If you go work at one of these tech giants or whatever, the CEO, nobody tells the genius guy that he's got to stop pacing when he's walking in circles, right? That's how he's getting his ideas out.
How does he want to get to school?
Jet ski. I'll ride it on water and go...
Put me on the intercoastal. Make sure that there's a spot for me to pull right up there, and I'd be more stoked about going to school.
And go...
That's how he's going to go. All right, let's see. Let's do one more. All right, so how... Oh, my God, I love this kid. All right. Worst part about school?
School is boring because we aren't getting walk. And we have to do it. It's so boring.
The walk is so boring. I hate doing the walk. It's so boring. So what can they teach to motivate you?
You can play all day and eat candy all day.
Yeah. Sign me up for that candy.
Yeah,
right?
I'm in.
Yeah. You can only get to school one way. Forget the bus. How you getting there?
I'll use a helicopter.
Definitely.
Baller.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Ron DeSantis, you're going to be hearing a lot today. The governor announced his 2024 presidential campaign. He is considered to be the front runner against competitor Donald Trump for the Republican seat. But he chose to do it on a Twitter live stream. That's why this is trending. So hundreds of thousands of people tuned in on Twitter to hear it. And it didn't go according to plan.
Now it's quiet.
That's the actual live stream starting.
Now it's quiet.
It's like somebody being like, shh, it's quiet.
Oh, is it one of those things where people are like, yeah, you're on. No, you're on.
You're on.
No, you're on.
Yeah, they continue.
And we want to welcome you to this historic Twitter Spaces event and more broadly, a first in the history of social media. Tonight, I'm pleased to introduce two individuals who've done more to loosen the grip.
Hello?
Oh, come on.
Hey, sorry about that. We've got so many people here.
So let's see.
It's just going to keep crashing.
Oh, it sure is.
It crashed for about 20 minutes while they were trying to get everything going. And it was kicking people out in the live stream,
yeah,
including Ron DeSantis.
I was going to say, so wait a minute. So the people asking those questions, is it live streaming? Is it on? Is it on? Yeah. Is that like Ron DeSantis? He's like over the camera and he's like, is this working? Because that would be even better, right?
Yeah, no.
It's like trying to set your dad up with Alexa.
Elon Musk and his techs were like frantically trying to figure out why the servers kept crashing. And I mean, it was just, he joked that he broke the internet because of so many people logging on. And then President Biden went up against him and he sent a link to all the supporters that said, here's a link that actually works. And it went to his donation page because here we go. Here's the next election cycle. Here we go.
Yes. Well, so much fun, right?
Yeah.
Big glitches, man. They happen sometimes at the worst times, right? I mean, at least they're landing spaceships with no problem. At least they're doing that over at SpaceX. But sometimes things go wrong. There was the time during the Super Bowl when the power went out. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Jones, why did the clock stop?
All of the lights on the 49ers side of the Superdome are out.
I'm a 49ers fan.
Yeah.
Brand new stadium. Proud moment, right? Super Bowl's at your place. The power was out for an hour. Does anybody remember that?
I remember.
It was out for an hour.
It was 10 years ago. It was 2013.
Yeah.
I remember, because I was covering it for the show, of course. And I remember watching it and being like, this is what everybody's going to be talking about tomorrow.
Long time before. Long, long time. You may or may not remember this. It might be before your time. But 1989, the World Series, it was going live.
And he fails to get Dave Parker at second base. So the Oakland A's
That was an earthquake.
I don't remember on television. I was a child.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, it was crazy. It was scary.
Yeah. Glitches happen. And it's so funny. Like, even with the Ticketmaster, everything that just happened with Taylor Swift. It's funny how we've come so far.
Yeah.
But then we get pulled right back.
Yeah, just one little thing with the connection or whatever. One Wi-Fi password that doesn't cooperate. The whole thing comes down.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Jack and Megan, I don't know who to begin with here. Jack, why don't we start with you? Why are you upset?
I'm not upset so much as I am kind of confused, honestly. My wife, Megan, works at a, let's say, semi-powerful law firm, and her coworkers, her male coworkers, call her pet names at work, right? Things like sweetie and doll.
Oh boy.
And you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I have a problem with that. It's unprofessional, but she doesn't have a problem with that.
Megan, why?
Because the guys are like 70 years old and I've been working with them for so long. Like, I just feel that it's an endearing.
Yeah.
It's not like a sexualizing kind of a thing. So, I don't know.
70 or not. I mean, nobody's corrected this behavior whatsoever at this point. You would think with lawyers, they're pretty aware of what lawsuits look like.
So, I don't understand why you're this upset, Jack. Like, well, it's just not a big deal. It's like my dad calling me sweetie.
So, Jack, how did you even know this? Did Megan, did you tell him? Did you hear it? Like, how did it come up?
We were at an office party, and I don't know. There's no amount of if they're comfortable saying it at a party, I don't know.
Okay, so what is it that you want her to do?
Well, I want her to say something. You know what I mean? Like just, kind of buck stops here, stand up to it and go, yeah, that's not really, it's 2023, let's not do that anymore.
The only thing with that is if it's been going on for years, all of a sudden now it seems weird. Now it changes things. But, gosh.
Huh.
I appreciate where you're coming from, but in this case, it's just not a problem. It's just like grandpa calling you dear or doll. It's just not a negative thing in my eyes.
How long have you been working there?
Like 15 years.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's see what the audience has to say, because maybe they agree with you, Jack. you should stand up for yourself and say, hey, I find this very uncomfortable and unprofessional. But the truth of the matter is that she doesn't. It doesn't bother you, Megan, because you feel like it's a term of endearment by a father figure more than it is an insult from a superior. So maybe you see Megan's side, too, where if it's not bothering her and she doesn't see it in that negative way that Jack says it, then, Jack, just back off and let your wife be.
Yeah, just swallow your pride and manliness whenever you're around them, I guess. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't know. I actually don't know. Yeah, you know, so Jack and Megan have been married a while. Megan works for a law firm. She's a paralegal there. She's worked there for many years. I think she said 15, right, Raven?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And the lawyers are older, and they call her things like sweetie and honey. And Jack has a real problem with that. He's like, I don't like these grown men calling you names like that. It belittles you, and I want you to step up and say something to them about it.
Well, the world's changed, right? And, you know, what used to be widely accepted maybe when she started there in that business or whatever is certainly not nowadays. On the other hand, I get it. I've worked in teams before when that's how people addressed each other. And you know, again, it was a different environment. Would you start in a new place now and do that? No, no way you would do that, right? So I don't know. There's a lot of questions that come here. The biggest question, I think, to me is it's Megan's place of employment and Jack is worried about it.
Yeah, it doesn't bother her. She's like, I've known these guys for 15 years. Like, they don't mean it to be like sexist or anything. They're just saying it because that's what they call me. I've been around a long time. Mm. What do you think? Should she have to say something? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Jody.
I am on her side. I just think that, you know, first of all, the world's so out of control with this stuff. But I think what she just needs to maybe say to her bosses is that, listen, I'm okay with it. I know you don't mean anything by it, but not always does the offended person who's being, you know, said to can be make a complaint about it. It could be people who hear it. So just for them to kind of be wise, be careful who they say it in front of, and if they hire any young people.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. The thing is, it doesn't bother Megan. It only bothers her husband, Jack. So should she have to do something about it if it's her place of employment and it's not bothering her? So Megan works at a law firm. She's been working there for 15 years. The lawyers are older men, and they call her things like honey, sweetie, all the time, darling, you know. And Jack has a problem with that. He doesn't think that any man should be calling his wife those names. But she doesn't bother her because she's like, they're just, it's like terms of endearment. It's not meant to be sexist or to belittle my role here.
Well, I mean, he sees it as all those things, right? He just says that this is unacceptable anywhere else on the planet. He can't believe that it's going on. Why does this continue? And he just feels like it marginalizes her impact as to what she does for the firm and what she's been doing there this whole time. The thing that really is confusing to me is that even if... Like, I mean, he's got a right to stand up for what he thinks is wrong around his wife. On the other hand, she has a right for you to say, this is my place and it's not for you. I do not need your assistance here. I am not looking for your support in this matter. And that has to be enough to close the door on it, doesn't it?
Well, you decide. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Sophia.
The wife. It's his issue, not hers, and he should just respect and support her.
I guess you're right, right?
Thank
I mean,
you.
After all, it is her place of employment. It just feels off. Feels wrong if you're the husband.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Good morning. I'm Justin. I'm on Megan's side. I think that the husband has some insecurities that he's worried about. If it's 7-year-old men and, you know, just out of kindness of their heart, I don't think there's any ill will behind it. And there's some things that the husband, I think, needs to check. He needs to check internally. I'm a gay 21-year-old male, and I'm always going, hon, how are you? Or, hey, how are you? It's nothing unprofessional or ill-intended. It's just a kind-hearted hello.
Fair
Thank
enough.
Thank you for the call, Justin.
Thanks, Justin. Okay. What do you think, Rosie?
So this one's a tough one. First of all, I kind of agree with both. And I know this is like, then why am I calling? It's, you know, it's old, it's endearing, you know, if the gentlemen aren't, like, touching her, then it's, I can agree, it's like a grandpa, it's an old uncle, you know. The problem for me with that is what happens if, like, a 30-year-old male joins the law firm and sees this behavior and then, you know, joins the behavior And then they get a client who comes in and says, I have a problem with my boss calling me honey, sweetie, doll. Like, you know, like, I kind of think there might be a conflict there. On the other side, I'm an old-time nurse. I come from the environment when we called out patients, clients, students, sweetie, honey, it's okay, right? And now you can't do that. And you get older clients, patients who say, what's wrong with you? You can do that. It's a slippery slope. And because it's a law firm, this code of ethics, I don't know.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Megan, our audience agreed with you. Jack, if it's not bothering her and she doesn't see it as the same insulting way that you do, then you need to back off her. It's her workplace.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I don't know. I guess the verdict is in.
I don't think you're old-fashioned. It would bother me too, man. Everybody's talking to my wife like that all day long. I don't care how old they are.
Megan, you have to be happy to hear that.
I am happy to hear that. And like, you know, Jack, don't take it so hard. it's totally harmless, really.
Yeah, Jack, it's just your self-respect. No big deal.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email at couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $700 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains. May 26th through June 5th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Hey, Jasmine, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jasmine.
Okay. Raven is walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
Number one, K-pop idol Jennie made her acting debut in Sam Levinson's The Idol, which premiered at Cannes Film Festival. She is known for her performance in what K-pop girl group?
Not sure.
Number two, Netflix is integrating anti-password sharing measures in the U.S. They're finally cracking down. The company will charge an extra $7.99 per month to add additional viewers to your account. Netflix launched in 1997 and was the primary competition for what other video rental business?
Blockbuster?
Number three, Tom Hanks appeared to be involved in an angry outburst at the Cannes Film Festival red carpet. The actor was there to support the premiere of what upcoming movie directed by Wes Anderson? He stars in it.
Asteroid City?
Number four, Sega announced that Sonic Origins Plus remastered versions of Sonic classic games is going to be released on Sonic's birthday next month. What actor from Parks and Rec most recently voiced Sonic in the movie franchise?
Ben Schwartz?
And number five, this week, the National Confectioners Association is hosting the 26th annual Sweets and Snacks Expo. Mascot Mr. Owl will be there representing his favorite candy. He is known for answering three when asked how many licks it takes to get to the center. What is that famous candy?
Tootsie Pop.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
4 out of 5 for Jasmine.
All right, pretty impressive. $700. Let's see how I do.
Number one, K-pop idol Jennie made her acting debut in Sam Levinson's The Idol, which premiered at Cannes Film Festival.
Okay.
She's known for her performance in what K-pop girl group?
She's in Blackpink.
She is a massive star. Number two, Netflix is integrating anti-password sharing measures. So that means they're going to start cracking down and charge an extra $7.99 per month to add additional viewers to the accounts.
I can't wait to see how many people get kicked off my account.
Me too.
It's going to be amazing.
Netflix launched in 1997, and who was their primary competitor?
It'd have to be Blockbuster back then.
That's right. Guess who won?
Well, you know what? I hope Blockbuster comes back still someday.
Number three, right? Tom Hanks appeared to be involved in an angry outburst at the Cannes Film Festival on the red carpet. He was there to support the premiere of what upcoming movie that he stars in that's directed by Wes Anderson?
Asteroid City.
Yes.
And I'm excited.
Number four, Sega announced that Sonic Origins Plus remastered versions of Sonic classic video games is going to be released on Sonic's birthday next month, the 23rd. What actor from Parks and Rec most recently voiced Sonic in the movie franchise?
Isn't it Chris Pratt?
No, Ben Schwartz.
Ooh.
You need this last one to tie. Otherwise, Jasmine's going to win.
Okay.
Number five, this week, the National Confectioners Association is hosting the 26th annual Sweets and Snacks Expo. Mascot Mr. Owl will be there representing his favorite candy. Mr. Owl is best known for answering three when asked how many licks it takes to get to the center. What is the famous candy?
Tootsie Pop.
That's right.
Ben Schwartz is kind of a blind spot for me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And he's such a great actor, but you don't hear about him that much anymore. But now he's Sonic, so there's that. I'm sorry, Jasmine. You guys tied at 4. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Jasmine, and I can't beat Raven.
Good game. Better luck next time. $800 tomorrow, Anna.